You are listening to Bit Podcast, a business podcast series produced by Bitpod on behalf of PKF Malta. This series is brought to you by Bitpod's co-founder, Dr. Marilyn Formosa.
Good morning to all our listeners. This is Marilyn from Bit Podcast by PKF Malta, and we're very happy to welcome you to another session. I am today joined by the lovely Nadia Tenis. Good morning, Nadia.
Good morning, Marilyn. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. We're feeling the heat. How is it in London?
I wish I could say the same. First of all, I would like to thank you, and I feel honored to be with you today.
Our pleasure. Our very great pleasure. And let me introduce you to our listeners. Nadia is, I think, one of the most cosmopolitan people that we've ever had the pleasure to have on the show. Nadia has lived in a wide variety of countries, to name a few: Bermuda, Tunisia, Athens, New York, and presently the UK. If I had to ask you, Nadia, doing business in all these places where you're active in financial services, wealth management, banking, immigration, how would you describe the doing business experience? How does it vary from one place to another?
Business, very interesting question, Merlin. Business is business as usual, as they say, but it's very important to consider, you know, the local culture. And I will say this with examples. So when I was, for example, in Tunisia, we had a meeting with another group of people, the clients. And we are Mediterranean, so we are more warm in our welcoming and gestures. And so we handshake. They don't handshake with women because they are Muslims and it's their religion. So yeah, so that was my first I should have known that. So what I'm trying, yes. And the other example is with Japan, with Japanese clients, that they, you know, they are very respectful. They don't hug easily. They need to build trust. They need their time. It's different mentality. And my Mediterranean temperament came out of the way, and I hung the Japanese client. He was a kind of shock. Of course, after a while, we make a joke of it. But what I'm trying to say is very important to study and research the local culture of each country and be respectful. And business-wise, if you want to succeed in a new market, you need to be patient, because most of the people that I have met, when they enter a new market, they feel that, okay, so we are this company, X company, we are very well known in our country. But in that country, the new country you are trying to enter, they don't know you. So you need to build trust. It's all about trust.
That is a very intelligent angle, Nadia, that you mentioned. And I agree fully. It is true that sometimes we go with the psychology of who we are and what we are confident knowing that we know and can do very well. But it is all up to how we bridge that gap with the unknown that we so much want to make friends with in the respective jurisdiction or industry that we are in. As you've worked with such a variety of colorful cultures and markets and people, if you had to give us a description of the most impressive personality or persona that you've ever worked with, it could be either as a client or as a mentor. Who would it be and why?
A difficult question, because, in this life, a lot of time, maybe you have heard that phrase, self-made and all that. And but we have mentors every day, Marilyn, in our life, and except the clients and all that. So it's a tough question, but I would try to narrow it down to one person. I had a lot of mentors, and I feel grateful about that. It was a mentor. After he became a mentor, he was a client. He was in coaching client in Bermuda. He was, I won't say the names for obvious reasons. He was the general manager of a very big company, global company. So they had their headquarters in Bermuda. And I was coaching him because he was very successful, lots of money, but he didn't have time for him to enjoy his success. So, for example, this guy, I was trying to, we were trying, we are spending hours to find time for him to play golf. And I know it might sound stupid and very simple to do. I mean, why not having time to play golf? But when you're a high performer and you are running like a business with 500 people, you know, below mm-hmm. you don't have the time. And you don't, you know, it's not just not finding the time. You feel guilty. That because when you play golf, it's like, but I could be working. I could be doing something more productive. And so he was my mentor for other things. I mean, I helped him to find well-being and balance in his life and still be a high performer. And he taught me that in life is not just about money and this, spectacular lifestyle. In the end, we all have the same troubles and challenges. We are all human beings.
That is a beautiful thread, Nadia. And again, it comes down to a matter of perspective. You reminded me of a session that we did some months ago with a gentleman called Ian Khan, who delivered a number of TED Talks, and he wrote a book. And the central theme was exactly this. It was exactly the mad rush in the corporate world to be a high performer, and how do you balance in the reminder constantly that we are human and the human still needs, you know, the vitamins of the well-balanced life in order to be efficient.
Yeah, exactly.
And now for a quick intermission.
At PKF Volta, we offer a full range of immigration solutions and have dedicated ourselves to meeting excellence as a standard every time. This year, our VIP client handling division celebrates 7 years of success, gratitude, friendship, and trust. Our current offering covers second passport and permanent residence options for the following countries: Malta, Bulgaria, Turkey, the Caribbean islands of St. Kitts, Dominica, and Grenada, as well as E2 business visa applications for the US and a vetted EB5 investment option through our trusted partners. Be a part of our success story. Get in touch with PKF Malta today. Okay, so let's have a look at the business side of things. Banking is one of the areas that you assist your clients with. It is a situation that has become very cumbersome, very problematic, over-regulated. There have been also a lot of scandals. And we're in a situation where it's almost impossible to open an account in whatever jurisdiction you are. Some years ago in Malta, we had a hope that possibly the blockchain revolution would change this and would create a much easier path. However, to this day, we're still waiting for a development that makes practical sense. In your view, what do you think is going to happen? Where are we headed in terms of banking as a facility for our clients?
Well, as you were very well said about the blockchain, you are right. It's an upcoming huge market. And now, well, with the future, you know, I will tell you, I like stories and examples, right? So I will tell you like a few years back, Star Trek. Remember they mm-hmm. had this iPad? And back then we didn't even, you know, imagine that we would have iPad and iPhones True. And Android, whatever, in now time. So what I'm trying to say is that we have to keep up with technology. And this will affect tremendously the banking sector. So people and banks will try to travel, to transfer everything online. So people, there will be, I believe that they will be doing their transactions online. But you ask, and indeed, because they're trying to have a cashless, you know,
society
around the world. Yeah, exactly. And they are saying now to create the credit coin online and all that. But you ask about the facilities of opening, for example, just a simple current account. It's becoming a big headache, and you are very right. I mean, even in your own country, if you are in UK, Malta, wherever you are, it might be, you know, longer procedure than it used to be. In a way, it's good because we have more regulations and you know exactly about the source of funds. And some other aspects, I think that it's it's too much hassle for nothing, especially for the current accounts, with simple accounts. I believe that there will be more online banks in the future, that they will be opening bank accounts, and they will be different now than they used to be, like platforms for other banks, if that makes sense to you.
Yes, it does. And it comes back to what you said earlier, the concept of trust, because we're seeing a lot of these online banks. And for some reason, at least myself, there's still a little bit of doubt, you know, until you can feel you truly trust this platform. And that one day, the fact that you might wake up and the website's down and perhaps it's all gone is a little bit of a concern that that we're still struggling to come to terms with. However, the technology is on the rise, and as you said, we must really keep up to speed with the way of making it as safe and efficient as possible for our clients and our business to survive.
Yeah, what you said is very accurate about the trust. So I believe that now is more, it's an urgency to have good associates in many countries around the world that, you know, you can keep up with them. Because I don't believe, Marilyn, and I hope so, we will still need humans, you know. I mean, yes, everything will be online. And now we are doing this interview. You are in Malta, in UK, and we are talking. It's great. But I do believe in human touch. So if you, it's good to build good relationships around the world, trustworthy relationships, where you can, you know, you can take up the phone and call Nadia, Marilyn, whoever, to help you out with something, even if it's with a bank account. What you said before is very, very correct, because there we have to be careful, because unfortunately there is a lot of cybercrime, and we need to be careful. People need to be careful where you put your money.
Quite right. You know, it is something that we need to educate ourselves on imminently, because it will touch everything as the world goes more and more online, more virtual. Nadia, let me take you into immigration now. It is a subject that we have discussed already, and we've had the opportunity to share some notes on that. One particular market that Malta is close to, but is as yet perhaps still an emerging one for us, but you are very well versed in it yourself, is the African market, where we've been hearing a lot about South Africa and Nigeria especially as an upcoming and emerging market for the super rich, which is an industry that yourself and our firm are very focused on. What can you tell us about this emerging market?
So regarding Africa, many people, they think Africa and they think, you know, poverty and the starving children and all that, which is true.
Yes.
There are many, many troubles and challenges in Africa, but there are also a lot of super rich, as you said, people in Africa. And we are talking mainly in South Africa. So these people now, with this pandemic that we had, for them, it's becoming an emergency, you know, to have at least a second passport. Why? The first reason, which is very simple, Marilyn, health.
Mm-hmm.
First, and secondly, for some countries, it's very difficult to travel with their own passports. So by having a second passport, it will make their life easier, not just their life and their business easier and their to grow. So I believe in South Africa, Nigeria, yeah, because I have friends in Nigeria, and now especially they are more in more warm, let's say, to get a second passport. Also, that goes for example, in Libya. Yeah, Libya, it's a very rich country, but they have war. Some people, they may say to me, I say, yes, they do have war very often, but they do have money and they do want safety. So for each country, each culture or each citizen, better say, from each country, they need their second passport for different reasons. And I believe these countries, they will be the highest in the rank now for passports, as they have been growing actually the last few years, right? And Asia, because you need to see where the wealth of the world is divided.
Very true, Nadia. When you spend some time in America specifically, we know that America is a very big center hub for immigration, and a lot of our clients, notably the Asian continent, which you've just referred to, they have a sort of a craze for the USA. Did you have the opportunity to work in the field when you were there?
I was living in New York, yes, and I've spent in the US nearly 3 years. And yes, I have worked with people from China mainly. Mm-hmm. And yes, they like America because America is the land of opportunity, as we say, and so it's good for business and the lifestyle for some, because America is not just New York, but at least my experience was in New York and Washington. And they are interested in America, but I need to say that they do like Europe too, for different reasons. And a lot of them, they were preferring UK mainly for the language and for their kids to study. But they are aware now. So China, they had done the road belt. So they got connected with few countries and in Europe. And that, I believe, that it helped all the European Union countries to come closer to Asia. And I believe that now they are aware of Europe, and it's easier now for the Chinese or other Asian nations to come closer to Europe by obtaining a second passport.
Thank you, Nadia, for sharing those perspectives. We touched lightly upon COVID and the recent months and the effect that had on the sort of urgency that it has driven or motivated part of the super rich to look for a second passport option. Can you give us some comments on the impact of the situation generally on industry and business as you've experienced it? As you're in the UK, that's very interesting to us.
Yes, COVID, unfortunately, I will say, messed up a little bit the whole world. Mm-hmm. And business-wise, I think all the nations will take some. They will need some time to, you know, to get back on track. As any other crisis, you need time. It's like I'm saying to people, it's like divorce. You know, when you get divorced, you need some time, you know, to recover and get yes. back again on your feet. So we have to be patient. But I will say about immigration. So now, everything will change, Marilyn. Everything will change, my prediction at least. So the workers, and I think that, you know what? I think the PR, permanent residence schemes around the mm-hmm. world will be more, because it's cheaper, they will be more lucrative to people that they are looking for a second home.
Okay.
Not just for the super, super rich. And it's a lower market, but still it's a market. So the New Zealand, they are making their, because a lot of Indians, for example, they are choosing New Zealand and Chinese. And now New Zealand is tightening up a lot, making stricter their immigration regulations.
Okay.
Not just for the residency or passport, but for workers and everything. So now the countries, I believe that this year and after, they will try to support the local citizens of their countries. So what impact this will have on immigration? So now the need to have a second passport or a second residency, it's much more bigger. Because if you are in a country that there are no many opportunities or is not safe or security, for example, now in Pakistan, I have a client
mm-hmm.
and his daughter, it's a real example, and his daughter, she's sick. And in Pakistan, you know, it's more crowded, so it's more difficult to find the cure. Even if you have money, they don't have good facilities health-wise. He's very worried, and he called me the other days, and he said to me, "Oh my God, I should have done, you know, this my residency and my program earlier." And he's a mm-hmm. live proof; he's a living proof of the fact that I've been saying that now it will be urgency anymore. It's not just, oh, I want another home just to do my business or to be able to travel for vacations. Now it's more a necessity for these people, especially in countries where they don't have let's say, in quotes, strong passport.
Yes, that
And
is
I believe that the
true.
immigration experts like your firm, and you have years of experience in the field, you know, these markets will be the, not the upcoming, it's not upcoming, the Pakistan, but they will need more the passport than other than before COVID.
Nadia, if you have to say, out of all the passports and residence programs that are out there, which are the sort of top three in terms of what the clients want that you've seen?
Very interesting question, Marilee. Well, it depends from the from where the client is coming from. For example, Indians,
Yeah.
they do like United States, they love Canada, they love New Zealand. And because you know what, it's becoming a culture, you know. So for example, so many years Indians they were going to America. And it's not that easy to create with them, you know, a new market. For example, again, Chinese, they left UK mainly because of the language again, you know, and of course because of financial center and all that. But what I have observed is like it's not that they are not interested in new countries, they are not, you know, they have not been educated in new countries, like for example Malta and other countries in Europe. And I need to say that a lot of Indians, they do like countries like Malta, for example, you know, the sun, the weather, not that crowded, and the safety, which is very important factors in my opinion for someone to choose a second home. I believe that education, yes, comes from the companies. But Marilyn, I think that the countries themselves, they need to open doors with other countries, so it will make it easier for the companies that they are providing immigration services to enter into the new market.
Very true. The education point is a very valid one, Nadia. Thank you for reminding us all of that. You reminded me of when we landed in Vietnam last year, and the only thing we kept hearing was Portugal, for example. And we said, oh dear, you know, we've traveled all the way across the globe, and nobody wants to know about little Malta because they only know about Portugal here. But by the end of the trip, people were willing to listen, and we came away with new partners and new business. So essentially, education, which you highlighted, remains a key force, a key driving force. I'd like to invite you to give us your closing comments or thoughts.
My closing comments. It's a new era, and I'm very excited about it, to be honest with you, because it's good to have changes in life. It might take us some time to adapt, you know, and but it's good because changes takes us to a ne to the next level, I believe. And we need to keep up with changes. You know, everything's there is rapidly growth in everything, technology, how the world is moving, although we pause for a few months. And I believe that immigration future it's there, and we might need to look into you know, to look to immigration needs in a different perspective. Seeing like for me, immigration and for the people that they are getting a second passport is not just, you know, I want to go vacations through Europe, that's why I need the Schengen visa or whatever. But for the, we have to give them the feeling that it's a second home. You know, it's about their health, about their security, about their safety, and do business around the world and traveling. I mean, traveling comes for me in the end. I would like to thank you, Marilyn, for having me with you and giving me the opportunity to share my opinion on immigration. And I'm sure that your company will, is doing a great job already. And I wish you all the best. Thank you once again.
Thank you, Nadia. Most inspiring. Thank you for being with us and sharing your thoughts and experience from life and work as they come together in a beautiful union. Thank you very much to all our listeners, and please follow our socials to join us next time on the next session of BitPod by PKF. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Bit Podcast. If you liked this episode, be sure to subscribe and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter